Bonjour.
Welcome to this new edition of So French, the show about the twists and turns, intrigues and insights to all things French.
Every 2 weeks, we select the best, most interesting and fascinating of French news stories, all brought to you from our studio in the heart of Paris.
My name is Stéphane Vries.
And my name is Sarah Bertelson.
And this week, we'll tell you the story about France's jihad granny, who went to great lengths to support her son, a rising star in the Islamic State movement in Syria.
And also, a new law aimed at protecting young women from unrealistic body ideals.
And we'll teach you some French swear words, bordel de merde. This week, front pages here in Europe have been dominated by the so-called Catalan independence referendum. Considered illegal by Madrid, it became a very tense story with quite shocking images coming out of Catalonia last Sunday. The EU's response has been pretty bleak, and there might be several reasons, not knowing how to handle and many other European countries grappling with similar issues of separatist movements.
France is, of course, no worse or less than any other European countries, having several, actually, independence movements on its territories. The Basques, yes. Linked to the Spanish Basques, of course, the Corsicans, in the Mediterranean.
Always the Corsicans.
Always the Corsicans, of course. And actually, next year, there will be a referendum, an independence referendum, in the French territory of New Caledonia, which is in the Pacific Ocean, just near Australia. And they will have their own referendum.
Yeah, so stay part of France, as they are now, or to become an independent country. So France is basically, well, agreeing, or at least allowing one of their regions to organize a referendum. But that's not the only region.
No, there's actually one other region here, and it's called the North Catalonia. It's not that common, or not that known, actually, but it's, one might imagine, it's a northern part, or north of the Spanish border, the northern part of the Catalonia region.
Which happens to be the south of France.
It's, exactly.
Around Perpignan. So what about the French Catalans? How do they feel about their brothers and sisters on the other side of the border? To find out more, we talk to David Sendra. He's a member of the political movement Oui au Pays Catalan, or Yes to Catalonia. Hello, David. What are your thoughts about the events across the border last week?
Well, we feel very concerned about the situation, of course. People are talking a lot about it here in this side of the border. Local newspapers are daily reporting about the situation, and I would say that today we're feeling a little bit worried because of the deadlock we seem to be in, also of the economical potential bad consequences for Catalonia. And also worried by the for the social peace in Catalonia. So we do hope that Spanish and Catalan authorities will find a way to talk with each other, because we think it's the only way, it's the only solution.
Now, the situation is changing by the hour, actually. It's very unclear what will happen in the next couple of days. What will you do, or what will your reaction be when Catalonia indeed declares its independence?
I think that we have to we have to open a door to dialogue. There's no other solution. I think that at this point, independence declaration would be maybe too radical in the conditions we are today.
Does the French part of Catalonia actually wants to become independent from France?
Not really.
So French Catalonia will never join an independent Catalonia?
No. There are Catalan claims in northern Catalonia, in French Catalonia, but it's more about cultural recognition than politics.
And how can you explain the difference between the two Catalonias?
We share 8 centuries of common history with Catalonia, but we've been separated by the treaties by the Treaty of Pyrenees in 1659. So it's now more than 3 centuries ago. There are a lot of difference between both territories.
So there's more a sentimental connection than a real nationalistic connection.
Absolutely, 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 yes, yes.
And can you speak Catalan in France? Because regional languages in France are not really very much appreciated by the central government. Is it still sort of taboo?
It's not a taboo, but the use of regional languages in France is much, much less important than in Spain, than in the Spanish state. I would say that here in French Catalonia, only maybe a 20% of population really speaks currently Catalan, and the rest of the population has no volunteer of learning it.
So the French Catalan identity is not as strong as the Spanish Catalan identity.
It's different because everybody describes himself as a Catalan. But they don't feel the identity the same way than Spanish Catalans do. I would say that we differently feel what is Catalan identity. For an important part of South Catalan, Spanish Catalan, Catalan feeling is perceived as a national sense of belonging, while for us it's more about regional sense of belonging.
So apart from the cultural differences, are there also economical differences between the two Catalonias?
Yes, yes, a very big difference. And the most important difference is that Southern Catalonia, Spanish Catalonia, is the richest region of Spain, while we are the poorest county of France. Or one of the poorest.
Yeah, that's a big difference indeed. And what about unemployment? Are those numbers comparable?
It's not comparable to. We have a very high unemployment and much higher than Catalonia's one.
So in spite of the common culture, French Catalonia and Spanish Catalonian are pretty different. Thank you very much, David Sendra. He's a member of the political movement Oui au Pays Catalan.
All right, so moving on to this week's scandal segment. This week's scandal is a bit of a more scandal of words, one could say, of wordings. It involves the French president.
Yeah, and some very common French swear words. The French are very good at swearing. And the French president...
And it's not merde.
No, it's not merde. The most of the people know merde, but it's actually not. Let's listen what the French president said.
Il y en a certains au lieu de... Le bordel, il ferait mieux d'aller regarder.
So this was the French president Emmanuel Macron this week saying literally there are some who'd better off seeing if they could get a job rather than stirring up shit or making a mess. It's hard to translate.
Foutre le bordel. Fantastic and very sophisticated French expression. That is, I mean, it's much more vulgar in French than to say making a mess.
Yes, or, absolutely. You know. Well, it's not necessarily the word brothel, bordel. This means brothel, but it's more foutre. It's pretty vulgar, especially coming out of the mouth of a French president. What was going on? He visited a training center.
Well, he was visiting this business, and one of the managers was talking about the difficulties they have hiring new people. And this took place only not very far from a town where there has been a lot of protests over the last year and a lot of strikes and quite violent strikes. And what President Emmanuel Macron did when he was talking to one of these managers then complaining of the difficulty finding workforce was he, you know, said, well, instead of
complaining all the time
and you know, doing this, they should maybe come here and try to look for work here instead, because clearly there are opportunities. It was during a visit. There were cameras everywhere, but still Emmanuel Macron claims that he wasn't aware that he was being filmed when this was said.
Yeah, well, I think he really knows that he's filmed all the time, and I think it was more or less deliberate. And
quite a few people say that it was yeah. because, you know, he is after all dubbed as the master of communication.
Yes, and quite a few people took offense. About 60% of the French thought it was really rude and that a president should not say something like that. But actually, bordel is quite a common word. Everybody uses that. So it didn't shock me personally. Maybe a president shouldn't say it, but
it comes in a context as well, yeah, I must say, where true. This where Emmanuel Macron he's been very, very criticized for being the president of the rich to begin with. This after both his pushing through with the changes to the labor law, what Manu says is just, well, bad for workers and good for employers. And also now pushing through with this abandoning of the tax on rich people.
Yeah.
So, you know, he comes in that context. And we must also remember it's not the first time that this kind of comment slips out of the mouth of the
person. No, we already talked about that earlier. He also sparked ire when he opened a new startup hub in a converted railway station. And he said, a station is a place where we meet people who succeed and people who are nothing. And he basically meant that a station is just a place where a lot of people come through and go and come.
It was interpreted in a pretty bad way.
Understandably. But yeah. And then he said, he wasn't even president. He said something about illiterate workers when he was visiting a slaughterhouse where poor people worked and who traveled by bus. So he has a history of, well, being quite blunt.
But so what would be his interest? We're saying that it's not a blunder. What could be the reason behind his way of using words?
I think that a lot of French actually think like he does, because it's true that a lot of French people, they prefer to talk or to protest instead of looking for a job. At least that could be the perception of a part of his electorate. It could also show that he is really serious in getting the French back to work and get rid of the unemployment. I don't really know what's going on in his head, but was there any comment by the Élysée? What was the official reaction?
Well, I find it quite interesting reaction though. So the spokesperson for the government came out and said, well, you can be a very knowledgeable person and still speak as a French normal person, which you can interpret it in any way you want, but you could also see it as a way of saying like, well, normal French people are not very knowledgeable.
Yeah, indeed. Actually, you can't say anything right. It's always wrong what you say. But I read an article a couple of weeks ago that people who swear a lot are actually far more intelligent than people who don't. So maybe it's just a proof of intelligence of this president who speaks like the normal people.
Vous écoutez So French.
You are listening to So French.
Now let's talk about parental relations, Sarah. It was quite an unusual story this week in France here. An Islamic State-linked court case, we're used to it in France, but this week the defendant was not a typical jihadist. It was not some guy from the suburbs or a former criminal who decided to join the jihadist army, but it was actually a 51-year-old mother of two from Troyes, in the center of the country, and her nickname is Mami Jihad or Granny Jihad. So what was she accused of?
Well, yes, this is it's a quite fascinating story and quite sad as well, I must say, when you actually read into it. Christine Rivière is her name. She's 51 years old, and she was the oldest of some 30 French women who have been imprisoned here after having returned from Syria or Iraq. She converted to Islam a couple of years ago in 2011, shortly after her son did the same thing. And she decided to go full-heartedly following him first to Tunisia, and then when he decided to go to Syria, she decided to support him and go visit him. She went to Syria 3 times. She followed, she was very much involved in the jihadist cause, where she was tweeting footage. She was encouraging her son, who was quite quickly started to advance in the ranks of the Islamic State group. And there, during this court case, there were several messages that were brought up where they showed how she was saying, well, you were made for this, and you go, my son, this is the way forward, everything. She even tried, well, she managed as well, she even went looking to find wives for her son, for him to marry with. But then what happened was that in her third trip to Syria in 2014, where she was supposed to get settled there for good, she was actually stopped by the authorities and brought back to France.
And what is she accused of? Did she commit any crimes?
Well, she's accused of having funded a terrorist organization and adhering to a terrorist group.
Yeah, and of course she... Well, what's her defense? She says that she's
caring mother, and she has been explaining, because there is also in this evidence footage of her posing with a machine gun, posing in the streets of Raqqa with a suicide belt, etc. And her explanation to this was that, well, if I would, I think it's a beautiful thing, a gun, and if I loved flowers, I would have posed with flowers. So clearly a quite different view on life from this woman. Her son has said, her other son then, not the jihadist son, but the other one, has said that she has been led on the wrong path by her love for her son. Okay. And some of the psychologists are saying that, you know, she's having this very fusional relationship with her.
Yeah. What about her son? Where is he now? Is he still in Syria?
Well, he was arrested just a couple of months after her, and just before the terrorist attacks in Paris in 2015. And it's believed that he was actually in contact with Abdelhamid Aboud, who was one of the people behind the Paris terrorist attacks, and that he's believed to have been preparing to commit some kind of attack in France.
And on Friday, the day we recorded this episode, Christine Riviere was sentenced to 10 years imprisonment. Pretty heavy price to pay for motherly love.
So, France... country of fashion, Paris,
and
capital
beauty,
of beauty,
glamour,
fashion, everything that you can imagine. But, you know, there will be some restrictions to how glamorous and beautiful people can be, at least in magazines from now on.
Yes, absolutely. Because all commercial photos, so that's advertising for perfume or clothing that have been digitally retouched, will now have to bear a label in accordance with a new law that aims to combat unrealistic body images and eating disorders. So as per this week, it will be mandatory to use the label retouched photo. As soon as the body of a model has been modified by image editing software to slim or to flesh out her figure, it applies to both magazines and online publications. I don't know if it applies to Instagram, because there are a lot of Instagram famous people who maybe, I don't know what they do, but so it's a pretty serious law. Anyone who violates the law can face a fine of up to €37,500.
That's quite a heavy fine.
Yeah, it is. It's expensive enough to not be able to pay for your food anymore, so you will lose a lot of weight.
But it sounds like this is a reasonable thing after all. I mean, when you see how pictures are modified.
Yeah, and all those very slim models on catwalks. I think there's already a law for the catwalks that people...
They're not allowed to use anyone... you're not allowed to promote extreme...
Thinness
or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
So, but does this apply also for presidential pictures?
Good question. Well, maybe. I'm not sure whether Emmanuel Macron is already pretty slim, whether he really needs to be slimmed even up by Photoshop. But
I'm sure that those pictures, the portraits of him that came out, were a little bit retouched.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a usual practice. When you do that, you clean the skin, you know, you remove, well, you know, imperfections. But I think it's only... I think this law only applies to photos of bodies that are made more slimmer. I think you can still making people more glamorous, the faces.
Okay, so it's not the end of glamour.
It's not
Paris.
The end of glamour, fortunately. So, yeah, well, the thing is, of course, a lot of girls, mainly girls, they see those perfect images. Well, I personally don't like them at all, but these are fake images, but then they want to attain this goal. So, you know, it's maybe to show to girls, well, beauty is you know, can be fake, and don't put your life at risk.
I even heard someone saying that in France the second cause of death for young women is eating disorders.
Okay,
so that it's after car accidents. So it is a big problem, and you know,
yeah.
So this will probably not solve the issue or take it away for good, but at least make people aware of the fact that there is no such thing as the perfect body. Well, Stéphane, you know, every week or every month there are these reports about, you know, magazines closing, news stations, outlets are you know, they can't continue broadcasting anymore. But some news, good news.
Yeah, good news for the media, because now, as per this week, we have Le Média, the media. It's a new news channel.
Who needs any other media if you have the media?
Exactly. So we can get rid of all the other media. But there's one problem, however. The media is a new media by Jean-Luc Mélenchon, the leader of the left-wing party Les Insoumises.
Because the far left party.
The far left party, who did pretty well with the last elections. Because they don't really like the mainstream press. So they said, well, we'll start our own channel and we just call it simply The Media. Le Média.
What are they going to do?
Good question. I think they're going to put on a lot of videos because it's online. And they also said there will be no topics that are critical of Jean-Luc Mélenchon, because Jean-Luc Mélenchon considers himself a victim of the French media. So on this media, Le Média, there will be no bad news about their leader Maximo.
This sounds like a fantastic, great idea. It has been tried out, we must say, in several countries.
Absolutely. I remember.
And still going strong in many parts of the world.
The Pravda, that's the first of, it means, the Pravda means the truth. So there's only one truth, there's only one media. So this is the news that French political parties are now starting their own media because they're unhappy with the existing media. Maybe it's time for us to start a political party and we just call it The Party.
The Party, exactly.
And you can vote for us on www.sofrench.news.
Just make me think about something. In the US, Donald Trump has done, tried at least to do the same thing. He has his own YouTube channel where he hired his granddaughter, I think, or someone's nephew or niece or someone to present.
Yeah,
no fake news, only truth.
Only truth.
About, about the state of the.
But
the
it's a trend we're seeing in other countries as well, that people or political parties and politicians are using social media, so they don't need the traditional media. And of course, it's very worrying because it's our job as well to check what the politicians are doing. But if they're creating their own media, well, it doesn't really look good, but you know, it's a free country, so why not? Let's all become a member of Le Média.
wraps up this edition of So French. We hope you have enjoyed it as much as we have. To follow us on Twitter, it's at So French News. And if you have any questions or suggestions, send us an email. Our address is sofrench@sofrench.news.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes, SoundCloud, or in the TuneIn radio applications. And please share this podcast with your friends. And if you like French music, check out our playlist on Spotify, which we update regularly. Just search for So French Podcast and you'll find our playlist of Sarah and me. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of So French online and on air on World Radio Paris.
We hope you will join us then. Thank you for listening.
And au revoir.